Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Cake Lasso. I am your host today, Heath Pierce. I am filling in for the wonderful Ian Joy. But I've got my favorite guest with me, Nigel Riococher and Mike Lahizi-Lahoud, a former teammate of mine. Boys, we got a lot to break down from the weekend, but we're going to go right off the top, starting with Arsenal-Liverpool. Before we get into sort of the game flow itself, I'll start with you, Nigel. Do you have any grievances you want to air from this match? Is there anything that's bothering you? Anything that you want to get off your chest before we get into some of the other stuff that may be a little more neutral?
You know what, honestly, I can't really say so. I think for me, it was just a great game of football. I think the only disappointing thing I would say, it was a soft penalty that was given to Arsenal. Because in reality, the game was fantastic. I think that soft penalty was a real harsh decision, and Arsenal did play great, but Liverpool did well as well, considering this transition that they're going through. And it was a great game of football for the neutral. But I think the penalty decision is the one thing that really I would say was disappointing.
Michael Hood, do you agree with this? Is this what's on your chest as well? I mean, do you think a result like this, you need a little bit of luck when you go on a run, right? In the form that you're in, luck tends to fall your way. Do you think that? I mean, obviously, I know you agree that it's a soft penalty call. But was there anything else from that match that caught your eye from the top?
Gosh, it just, whether the penalty kick or the call happened, it's just been a calamity of errors from Liverpool. It gets worse and worse each week. And I can't wait to go in the weeds with this. But at the end of the day, in a big game like this, you just hate to see the referee be the center of attention again. It's happening too much with VAR.
Well, let me go back to you on this one then. Liverpool, what is the state that you feel that they're in right now? Obviously, not starting the season as strong as they want. We saw last year, same thing, but they get on. They quickly make pace, and they keep pace with the top of the table. Right now, they're a little bit behind that. Do you think that this is a year that's going to be hard for them to bounce back on?
Absolutely. I think it's getting into panic stations. Their saving grace has been the Champions League. That's been an outlet for them. But even that, they played Rangers, the worst team in the group and probably one of the worst teams in the competition. And that can give you a false sense of security. There are deep, deep rooted problems in this Liverpool team. Number one, going into this game, how do you not start Bobby Firmino? He's one of your leading goal scorers. He looks to be the only person who has confidence about him. He showed it on the second goal. Well-timed run, even better finish. And Darwin Nunez, yes, he scored today. Quality goal poacher's goal. But there's just more about this team that I'm worried about. Midfield. I said at the start of the season, their midfield, they need more depth. They need to freshen it up. And Thiago and Jordan Henderson, I did not think they had a great game. They had moments. But defensive transition is where they got exposed by Arsenal.
Nigel, on the same note, Mo Salah subbed off. Not his season. Are we seeing the end of perhaps? I mean, maybe it's too little to say the end of an era within that group. But obviously, Sadio Mane leaves, and now you've got Mo Salah subbed off. Is it going to be an off year, or do you think he's got that ability still to turn the season around for them?
It's a disappointing year, Heath. I think for me, Mike and I tapped on it before as well. We said it that Sadio Mane is a big miss for this Liverpool side. Really is a big miss, and it's showing. Salah, for me, hasn't been really the same as we've all talked about. And I'm sure that's probably one of the reasons why I feel that Mane left, because he didn't feel appreciated as much as everything was about Salah. Salah signs his new big deal. He hasn't been delivering. That's just the reality. He hasn't been performing at the highest level. And it's not just Salah. It's the whole Liverpool team. Again, Jurgen Klopp's talking about not being so predictable, and it seems like he's trying to reinvent the team. But do you really reinvent the team with the players, or is it at times where you need to change the manager? That's the problem right now. Reinventing the team, not changing the manager and bringing new fresh ideas and something different. That's something we've got to discuss. You've got to give credit to Arsenal. I think Arsenal were fantastic today. And for me, Liverpool are not in the title race. I don't care how early it is. I think with the performances we're seeing from this Liverpool team, we cannot say that they're title contenders. They're in a race to maybe finish in the top four, which is going to be difficult.
Well, let me ask you this then. Do you think Arsenal are title contenders for the season? I mean, we see that they have some vulnerabilities, but they continue to grind out results. And with each week, you start to have a little more belief that maybe they can hang on. Maybe they can hang on. Unfortunately, there's a team called Manchester City in this league that's extremely difficult to get past. But do you think, Nigel, coming to you first and then followed by you, Lahoud, that Arsenal are true title contenders? Are they convincing you a little bit more with these types of results?
I think so, yeah. I said it from the other time. I think it was a statement win in the North London derby. And today was another big test, and they passed it. You know, I think what I really admire about Arsenal is the togetherness and the coming back now from kind of adversity. You know, old Arsenal teams would have crumbled once Liverpool got that goal and would have just folded away, and then you'd see Liverpool win. For me, the character and that strength of character and the togetherness and that real determination. And before they got the soft penalty, I've got to give credit. That was great high pressure by Arsenal. Literally was edge of the seat stuff. You can see Liverpool players throwing themselves at it, defending with their lives. But it was great determination, great resilience by the Arsenal team they're shown. And obviously, fortunately, they get the penalty. But I definitely believe that Arsenal are in the title race, definitely for this year.
How about you, Michael Hood? 8 wins, 1 loss, right? And cruising, right? You can't get to those types of stats at the beginning of the season. Yeah. After 9 matches, you're going to eventually play good games, like Nigel talked about, North London Derby. Now you have a result here. Do you think their belief is that we might have something special going on right now?
Oh, their belief is through the roof. The red half of London should be buzzing right now. I know it's 9 games. They haven't played Manchester City yet. That game will decide if they are true title contenders. But what I love about Arsenal is that they're making the Emirates a fortress. To be good in the Premier League, yes, you have to go on the road and get results and scrap. But Liverpool teams of the past, City teams of the past, United teams, yes, Nigel, I had to say United, but United teams of the past, going to their home stadiums, you already knew you lost. And for Arsenal, there's that believability when you can grind out results. I actually, Nigel, I want to challenge you with that. I actually didn't think in the first half they played their best football. I thought they were very fortunate to get that goal, but you have to put yourself in the right places. Their willingness to get numbers forward on the counterattack, that's been the biggest difference I've seen with this Arsenal team when things aren't going their way, is they get 4 or 5 players on the counter. And that's down to this defensive solidarity that Saliba provides. Him and Gabriel, he's going to make mistakes. It's just what you get with him. He's very aggressive, made a mistake on the goal. But when you have leadership and consistency in Saliba, that now filters down the spine, and you're seeing this confidence grow defensively first, and it's turning into attack and goals.
Oh, I like this. Nigel, Mike, go ahead. Well,
I was just going to say, I think what you have to look at, Mike, as well, is sometimes when you look at these championship teams, they're going to have periods where they're not playing well. And even when they're not playing well and they're getting results, something you need to take note of. That's something you need to be scared of, because it's all part of that winning mentality. And just like he said, they win today. Confidence in that dressing room is going to be sky high. Confidence is going to be so high now that they beat Liverpool, one of the teams that people will say, this is a real test for Arsenal. They came through that test. The confidence in that dressing room is going to grow tremendously, and they're really going to start to believe. And because they've got such a great togetherness, there isn't really a reliance on one specific player, Arsenal. Let's be real. Gabriel Jesus has been the X factor. Has changed that team, that mentality. And another thing, like he said, look at Martinelli's performance today. He didn't even make the last Brazil squad call up. So it just shows you the talent that they have there. And also it shows you the talent that Brazil has and the strength that they have looking to that World Cup. Because a performance like that, you would think he's a starter for the Brazil national team, because he was absolutely sensational today.
Yeah, it's an incredible thing when that mentality, Mike, comes to life, right? You see Gabriel Jesus tracking all the way back into his own box, trying to secure those wins. That's a thing that those are the intangibles, you know, in a locker room, when you have that belief from people saying, hey, we're going to get out of this with the result. We're going to do whatever it takes. And sometimes that's tough to get buy-in across the board. But it seems like at this moment, they know how to get that sort of win within reach, and they're willing to do anything to see it out.
Hey, you saw the North London derby. Jesus coming back. And I thought it was because he was playing against Richarlison and the whole competition for the Brazilian national team. But credit to Mikel Arteta. You have to get buy-in from your new signings. Remember, a year ago, this is only a year ago that Arsenal were in just dire straits. Aubameyang, the crisis there. He got rid of Mesut Ozil. He got rid of so many players. This is a new look team. I believe he finally has his team. And what you saw in the second half of the season, last season, although they didn't get Champions League, they went on a tear. And you're now seeing that confidence spill over with the additions of champions like Gabriel Jesus. And think of what might have been if Zinchenko would have been on the field today. Big, bold move to go with Tomiyasu at left back. It shows the depth that's starting to grow in this team. When Liverpool, I look at it, when Liverpool made their subs, Bobby Firmino, Lucho Diaz, I think him going out was a big factor that will not be discussed enough. I think that changed the game. Firmino coming on, they get the offensive boost with a goal. But when I look at this Arsenal team and I look at their benches, you look at who Liverpool have to come on offensively, and you don't see it right now. Their front four, Jota, Firmino, was it Nunez and Salah, once they came off, the game was done. And Liverpool were almost desperate to get out of there with a draw or hoping Arsenal wouldn't fire. And I think there's a turning of the tide and a changing of the guard that's happening in the Premier League. The fear factor that's associated with Liverpool is going away, and just the confidence factor and the fear factor of going to the Emirates is starting to reignite itself.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, just to add to what you said, Mike, I'm going to throw a little grenade or something there. You're right. Mikel Arteta finally has his team and you can see an identity coming there. My thing is this now, is that above board, the hierarchy of Arsenal, are they going to really start to show greater belief in Mikel Arteta now and give him funds to reinforce? Because if they really want to compete at all levels, they still need to improve that substitute bench and that squad, that real strength in depth. Because right now, starting 11, fantastic. Few players that can come on, make a difference. But would you say squad for squad players that their team like Manchester City, they're going to be competing against, you know, the likes of Tottenham and other clubs like that along those lines? Do they really have that strength in depth? Or are they one or two injuries away from problems? So now, is the Arsenal board going to be willing to back Mikel Arteta in the next transfer window to get some real serious reinforcements? Because you look at Gabriel Jesus, and obviously you look after Jesus. If Jesus gets injured, where do they go next? There's too much of a big gap. For competing at the level that they want to compete, they need to get another high-quality striker in that can keep it going if anything happens to Jesus.
Absolutely. They're certainly going to have depth if they want to challenge both now and in the future and reestablish themselves as a year-in, year-out Champions League team. And if you're just joining us on YouTube, get in that chat and tell us what you thought of the game. We are talking about Arsenal-Liverpool. But we are going to jump over now, guys, to the top three things from the Premier League, right? And so anybody that's watching and or listening to this, let us know what you thought of the Premier League weekend. Throw those comments in if you're watching this live. We'll start with the top three things here. So I'm going to go with you first, Mike LaHood. What's the one thing that you like from the weekend? We'll have each of us tee off one conversation topic and we'll elaborate on it. What's your one thing from the Premier League this weekend that you want to discuss?
I know Nigel is sitting there thinking I'm going to go USMNT heavy, and I was so tempted. I was so poised for this. I see him rolling his eyes, and knowing you were going to be on the show, Heath, I'm going to make a massive pivot. I'm going even further north. Newcastle, fifth place Newcastle, baby. 5-1 win. One loss to their name, the team that no one's talking about. Eddie Howe is doing miracle working up at St. James's Park. What I love about this team is their ability to press as a unit. I love it. And the linchpin of their defensive work in midfield was a Joe Willock, Longstaff, and Bruno Guimaraes. This guy is a stud. He should be on the plane. I think he's even going to challenge to start for Brazil because that's how good he's playing. He was one of their leading goal scorers last year. I think it was a January transfer that he came over, and he just fits the Premier League. He reminds me of one of those old school midfielders that can pick up the ball, do everything, tackle, drive on a counter. The first goal he scored, super impressive, diving header, bullet header into the side netting. And then the second goal, I mean, just the desire, the direct play. He says, I'm going to take it myself. The responsibility he's taking over this team, you love it. And up top, Callum Wilson. This guy has to now start being in the conversation for the England squad because he's playing lights out. Miguel Almiron, another MLS guy. Nigel, going to have to give my MLSers a shout. But this guy, last season, he was floundering. This season, he's looking like the flying Paraguayan. He scores a goal, and he goes to the corner flag, gets the flag out. Everything is going right for Newcastle. Really, really like this team. And to sound off, remember, this is a Newcastle team that almost beat Manchester City. They probably gave City the biggest game of the season so far. In the end, it was a draw.
Hey, you don't get to almost beat anybody. Either you beat them or you don't. You don't get to almost beat anybody.
It was a great Nigel, performance.
Okay, it was a great performance. Nigel, what's your thoughts on this Newcastle squad right now? And then when you finish that thought, take us into your one moment from the weekend as well. Could be a player, could be a team, could be a result. Let me know what you think.
I think it's a great squad. I really do. I think that Eddie Howe is a great manager as well. And I'm very glad that they give him the opportunity to show how much of a good manager he is, because it's him that's getting these guys to gel together. And how they're doing it in Newcastle, they're doing it slowly and quietly. They're getting players in. They're getting the right players in that fit the system and their style of play. And they're building something special. That's just why I look at this Newcastle team. They're building something special. Them not competing in Europe helps as well. The more they play together,
so you think the project is well underway. Like the project that we're going to see
is well underway.
Is the seeds are being watered right now to build those pieces before you start to see the big names come in to support that.
100%. I definitely think so. I think for me, my take of this weekend, I'll have to give it to Chelsea. Yes, Michael, Chelsea. I thought that they played fantastically well. They played fantastically well. It's great to see Christian Pulisic gain some game time, and he really did take the opportunity. He was fantastic. He looked a bit rusty in the first half. And obviously that comes because of not playing. You know, you can't really blame the young lad that he's not getting enough game time, but he was fantastic. And he took the opportunity that was presented to him to get some game time. And he did himself all the favours he could, you know, and it's only good for himself, but also it's only going to benefit USA that the more game time he gets for this up and coming World Cup, he can really be fit and ready to go. But Chelsea's performance was fantastic. And the worrying thing for me is I look at Wolves, and Wolves look absolutely horrendous. They looked really bad. They looked so lost in the sense of no real system, no style, just giving the ball away so cheaply, couldn't keep possession. They looked like a championship side, but Chelsea did play very well. And it was great to see, like I said, your boy Pulisic get a goal and play a fantastic game.
Lahoud, quick note on Pulisic before we jump over to mine.
Yeah, you could see the relief in his face and the excitement of it almost reminded me with the U.S. men's national team. I forgot which game it was, but he had a moment where he came off the bench and he scored a goal where Greg Berhalter was really testing his character and resolve and will and saying, can you be the guy we can rely on to not just have the armband, not just be Captain America, but can you be the guy? And you saw just the believability that he had and just the regaining of confidence. What I loved about the goal was he and Mason Mount, and Mason Mount starred in this game, getting a couple of assists. But he and Mason Mount, the telepathy on Pulisic's goal, he still had a lot to do when he did that give and go. In the first half, although he was misfiring, I thought he was Chelsea's most dangerous player getting into good spots. It looked more like the Christian Pulisic of old. I love what Chelsea are doing now. They have the flexibility of playing a back three, 3-4-3 that we've seen under Thomas Tuchel, and also a back four and a 4-2-3-1. It leaves different teams with different problems to solve. He, Conor Gallagher, Mason Mount, the mobility in that midfield three is a nightmare to keep tabs on, because all those players can run, all those players can pop up in different places, but that interchangeability between he and Mason Mount, I think that is Christian Pulisic at his best, playing with someone that he has chemistry with.
I like that. Well, the thing that I'm going to move over to then is actually the Leeds match. It was one of the more complete first halves I've seen from Leeds in terms of dictating the flow of play, having an actual system. I saw Tyler Adams get into the attack and set up Bamford on a ball that he should have been able to put through. Brennan Aaronson slaloming through to set up the first goal. A really good performance from the Americans, but Leeds starting to have a little bit more, at least in the first half, of something that might give them a foundation to survive or do well in the Premier League, right? That high energy stuff works until you get punched in the face. They were controlling the run of play, one stupid set piece. They then go 1-1, and they're not able to get out with any points on a day like this. They've got to start to extend those longer. But Leeds, I'm starting to see just a little bit of a just a new way of playing. That's not just you know kissing the crest, heart, fight, and things like that. Because we know the Premier League's so good that to do that for 38 matches just isn't sustainable. So there are some glimpses there that I'm starting to see, and I thought overall decent performances from the Americans. But look, we're going to take our quick first and only break of this show. When we come back, we've got three things from Serie A, as well as a little whip around Europe. So we'll be right back.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
Welcome back, everybody. And just as we are coming out of this break, I saw a comment that says we should mention that Wolves are in a free fall. Nigel mentioned that already within the show. But listen, guys, let's move on to three things from Serie A. We're going to go down it the same way. We've got AC Milan with a 2-0 win over Juventus, Udinese 2-2 with Atalanta, Sassuolo falling at the death, Dzeko to the rescue in this one. And then, of course, I'm not sure where the Napoli game is at, but Simeone, from what I understand, put them back up in front with the glory goal, becoming the hero right away. So I'll go with you, Nigel Riococo. Where do you want to start in Serie A from your moment of the weekend?
For me, I saw a bit more of an energetic AC Milan display. They absolutely dominated Juventus, really did dominate them. I wanted to see that same energy when they play Chelsea in the Champions League. And I'm sure they're going to give Chelsea a real game at the San Siro for this week's Champions League competition. But they dominated Juventus. Juventus are currently right now in such dire straits right now. And Vlahovic was very fortunate not to concede a penalty, because for me, that looked like a deliberate handball that should have been given a penalty. And it was complete dominance. And you really wonder what is happening at Juventus, in the sense, are they going to make the decision, or is it really the financial burden that's really stopping them? Because they just look like they could not compete with AC Milan.
Nigel, do you think that Vlahovic is, do you think this is a short stop, a pit stop for him in his career, and where he could likely end up leaving there sooner than later if he's not getting the service? Or do we think that he's not quite the player that we saw he was when he was, you know, the only guy that was generating attack for his former club?
He looks like he's lost confidence, because he had an absolute shocker yesterday, and he was at fault for giving the ball away cheaply with a winning goal for AC Milan. And he just looks like he's lost complete confidence. So when you see that again, the Juventus players, just heads just went down. And he looks like a complete different player now. I think that the fact he's not getting the service, he's not scoring goals, and everything is becoming a burden to him, that he just doesn't look like he's enjoying himself. And it's only going to be, again, it's a matter of time whether they're going to have to say, right, it's not working out for him how we expected it to here. We have to cut our losses and maybe let him go somewhere else. Because right now, this Juventus team, again, a team that's completely in free fall.
Michael Hood, any thoughts on this AC Milan-Juventus match, or do you want to take us to your next moment of the weekend?
Yeah, just a quick word. I'm so glad we talked on Vlahovic, because so much is put in and so much was put on getting him from Fiorentina, that he was going to be the guy. And this was almost set up to fail, because you need good players around you. You need players in form if you're a striker of his caliber. With his Serbian national team, he looks like a different player, because he's playing with Dusan Tadic. He's playing alongside Mitrovic. These are players that are in form, doing well, and will provide the service. I know Mitrovic is a goal scorer, but he can set them up as well. Vlahovic, what I saw that I hadn't seen before today, he was dropping deep to get the ball. That is not Dusan Vlahovic at his best. He's an out-and-out target player, and if I'm Juventus, I would start thinking about going with Milik, because Milik at least looked more dangerous. Do you start Moises Kean? When Moises Kean came on the field, I thought he posed more problems, getting two or three dangerous looks at goal, more so than Dusan Vlahovic got throughout the entire match. And for Milan, the impact of Theo Hernandez, you cannot understate that. You saw more of a dangerous Rafa Leão. Theo Hernandez giving that width on the left-hand side, getting forward, bombing forward almost like a left winger, allows Leão to float in and around Giroud, and it looked more like the Milan that we're used to seeing.
Well said. Mike, for the sake of time, I'm going to count that as your moment of the weekend as well.
Actually,
obviously, Okay. But it is worth noting that I know that Nigel was talking about Pogba being a big miss, but AC Milan were missing a number of their players as well in this match and didn't have anywhere near their best team. And they were able to come out of that with just grinding out that type of result, making it difficult for Juventus. But go ahead, Mike. What, do you have another moment for us?
Yeah, I have a moment. This was the real game that I was keeping an eye on. Atalanta Udinese, second versus third. Heck of a game. Gasperini, I think he almost overthought this one. They're up 2-0, and the impact of Luis Muriel was incredible. He sets up the first Adama Lookman goal, peeling out his runs in behind. Such a clever runner off the ball. You saw what he did at Sevilla. Comes to Italy, brings that confidence up top and unselfish play. And then the second goal, just wizardry on the ball, baits his defender, draws the PK, and then dispatches it in. And as soon as he and Lookman go off the field, I don't know why Gasperini subbed them off. It made no sense to me because they were in cruise control. As soon as they came off the field, it was one-way traffic. And this is an Udinese team that is so good on set pieces. And Gerard Deulofeu, 6 assists on the season, 13 goals last season. I think 13 goals, 5 assists. He finally gets his goal on a well-taken free kick. It was going to take something special to get Udinese back in the game. And they got it through Deulofeu, who also set up the second goal with a key pass in the box. This is a team that not a lot of people are talking about, but I think almost in that Napoli sort of vibe. They don't have the quality that Napoli have, but keep an eye on this team. I think, especially at home, they could be for real this season.
So, Mike, are you basically blaming the manager, saying that he subs cost him to get
absolutely
to get a draw?
Absolutely. Yeah? I thought it was down to it. Man,
attack the manager, Mike.
He overthought it.
No, you're right, Mike. It was a great game. It was a real great, great, great game of football. And I think those subs cost him the 3 points. That's what it was. I think you lose that threat. And for me, it's a questionable substitution as well, with the fact that Atalanta don't have European competition. You can surely concentrate all your energy on Serie A. You know, there's going to be times to rest players throughout the Christmas. So you do wonder why he made those substitutions, because they went from taking all 3 points comfortably to having to share the spoils with 1 point each. And remember, they've conceded the fewest goals in Serie A as well. So I'm sure he won't be happy with that, the fact of conceding so late. But it was a fantastic game. And you do have to say again, Atalanta are really serious title contenders, as well as Udinese. Udinese put some fight and some spirit, and that goes to, you've got to give credit to them as well, because as much as we're talking about Atalanta and Napoli, but to be 2-0 down against one of the top sides in Serie A and to come back, that shows great character there and great resilience to that Udinese squad as well.
Well, real quick, just before we move on, if you're watching this live or listening to this later, the Napoli match just wrapped up. It was 1-1 when we were coming into the show. It finishes 4-1. Oh, Chucky Lozano scores one. They end up winning 4-1. Giovanni Simeone with the winner, and then Matias Oliveira to make it 4-1 to wrap that game up. And then my one game from the weekend again is that Inter Milan, Edin Dzeko. This guy was playing in the Bundesliga when I was in the Bundesliga that long ago, but he's still this guy that's kind of undervalued, underappreciated. But if you put him into spots, he scores goals and he keeps his teams in matches regardless of who he's playing for. He's just kind of got that career ability to keep scoring goals. And you know, for the final moments of the show, Nigel, it's going to be you and I. So we're going to say goodbye to our friend Mike LaHood. He's got a busy day ahead of him. Mike, we appreciate you jumping on. Any final thoughts for us before we let you go?
Yeah, this was one heck of a weekend of European soccer and soccer throughout the world. Always great to be on the show with you, Heath. Nigel, you know how I feel about you. I don't like you. No, just kidding. Always great to be on the show with you. But just keep an eye on just the number of games these teams are playing, whether it's Champions League, Europa League. I think the tiredness factor is going to start to show itself at this point in the season and moving beyond heading into the World Cup. Just something to keep an eye on.
Well said. Mike, all right, Michael Hood.
Take the plea deal.
For those of you who are just listening to this in audio form, Mike has a solid white brick wall that we were joking about that he was in the police station waiting for his lawyer to show up before he talked anything. So we'll see Mike out. Mike LaHood, thank you so much for joining us today, and all the best the rest of the day. Now, Nigel, let's do a little whip around the rest of Europe. Obviously, we've got the Dortmund-Bayern game. Finishes 2-2 in the final moments. This one was bizarre to me because, one, Anthony Modeste, you wouldn't expect to eventually make his way to a Bayern Munich at this point in his career, but he does. Misses a huge chance with a few minutes left to play, only to be the hero in the end to get the to go level 1-1. Also, some bad news in this match for anybody in CONCACAF. Alfonso Davies suffers a skull contusion, bruising of the skull. They say he's doing well given the circumstances. But this was an interesting one for me, going back and forth in this game. Both teams having chances, but overall, a little bit of a difficult one. But Dortmund able to get a point out of this. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I thought it was a great game. And that's a great game of football. We've been so spoilt this weekend. Fascinating encounter. I felt for me that Bayern were the better team, that had the better chances. And really and truly, Bayern should have put that game way beyond Dortmund's reach. You know, Mane missed a great opportunity in the first half with a diving header. They weren't.
Oh, man, with the goal open, by the way. The goal was basically open on that diving header, yeah.
Bayern Munich just weren't clinical enough. And it goes to this change at Dortmund again. You know, we've seen a lot of young players coming through and having fantastic impact. Give them credit. Great character. A comeback against this Bayern side, which still, as Mr. Ian Joy would say, they are problems Bayern Munich, as he always likes to say. But Dortmund coming back and getting that equaliser so late in the game. And obviously, I think Oliver Kahn's reaction is probably the best that we've seen in such a long time, because we know what it means when Bayern Munich play Borussia Dortmund. And I think Dortmund are still working the kinks out, still trying to find that identity and get back to what we know Dortmund are. They produce great talent. They have great players coming through. Bayern Munich, again, questionable. Real questionable to not be clinical, to have the better chances, to dominate most of the game and not be able to see it all the way home.
Yeah, one of the great moments from this game, obviously the Kingsley Coman sending off was a little bit interesting, but Youssoufa Moukoko being the youngest goal scorer ever in this matchup between Dortmund and Bayern at, I think, 17 years, I don't know how many days, but a bright moment there. But overall, like you said, a theme that's been consistent this year with Bayern Munich of creating the chances but not finishing. And a lot of that people have continued to go back to, of saying you haven't replaced Lewandowski. You're trying to play a false nine system where you're going to try to create. They do get a lot of numbers in and around the box, but most of it's inside, not a lot of width at times. So they've got to be able to finish their chances if they want to sit at the top of the table for the entire season. Let's move over to Ligue 1, where no Messi, no goals. This is a nil-nil between Reims and PSG. Weirdly, Florin Balogun, who's a dual national, I thought had a great match in this one. Even before Sergio Ramos was sent off in this one, I thought Reims still had the better of chance. Oh, let me put it this way. PSG had the bigger chances, but less of them, whereas Reims had a lot of half chances in and around the goal that they weren't able to convert. This one finishes nil-nil. Now, before we get into this game itself, Nigel, were you or any of your teammates that you know always the ones getting sent off or disciplinary reasons where, you know, occasionally you got a sending off because you have to. A second yellow, big moment like that. You avoid situations, circumstantial. And then you have the ones that are habitual, where it's like almost like they need it as like the drug. Did you play with any teammates that were constantly getting sent off?
You know what? I was very fortunate. I never had any teammates that was getting sent off. I was always the one that's always getting yellow cards, though. So I was always the one that's stacking up on those yellow cards and always getting a booking in the game. But I didn't really have a teammate that would mostly get sent off. No, so I was fortunate in most of the teams that I played for. But it's Sergio Ramos. We're used to it. He's competitive. Paris Saint-Germain did well, you know, with 10 men to play for so long in the game and hold on and to get a draw. But again, do you worry to think that this year, no matter what people say, that this Paris Saint-Germain's team is Lionel Messi's team? Because like you said, no Messi, no goals. All the creativity generally is coming through Lionel Messi. Without him on the team and playing that high up in that pitch, in between the back four, in between the opposition midfield and back four, getting the ball, becoming more of a facilitator, that this Paris Saint-Germain struggles to create and make things happen without him.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you look at the table, though, with Paris Saint-Germain, you've got Lorient in second place, a point behind. You've got Marseille behind them, Lens behind them, and Monaco, so that are 6 points off the pace at this point. So when it comes to the league, doesn't matter, right? I don't think they like their chances. There's no giant under them. Marseille is a big club, but hard to keep pace with it with a PSG. But when it comes to their ultimate trophy, which they won, that is the Champions League trophy. Yes, you are 100% correct. This is Messi's team, and it's going to need to be Messi. When we go back a season ago, everybody was looking at whose team is it, right? We obviously saw Sergio Ramos was out in the very beginning for some time, trying to figure out who owns this team, who runs this team, what makes them tick. And we know that that's Messi. That's going to be the one that has to deliver for them this year. I also didn't have, I didn't spend enough time at any one club to really have that
thematic player that was getting sent off all the time. So I was fortunate as well. But, you know, I know plenty of them that exist out there that, you know, one, two times a year, they know that they're either timing that red card perfectly so they can travel home and get a few days off and a breather, or they're just disciplinary. I mean, Sergio Ramos is, again, running his mouth and ended up getting, you know, I think it was two yellow cards in one moment just for whatever he was saying. I have no idea what he's saying. But let's move this on to final thoughts from the weekend. England versus Italy and Ireland screwed. France and Netherlands in UEFA Euro 2024 qualifying draw. Any thoughts from that, or any final thoughts from around the world?
Did you just say Ireland is screwed?
That was placed right into the into the run of show by our Irish producer here.
Yeah, and he even said it himself that Ireland are not going to a big tournament for a very long time. So yeah, Ireland are screwed, definitely. I think with England and Italy, it's going to be great. It really is going to be great. I think the press and the media from both countries are going to bring up, obviously, the final. And I think it's going to be that game that's going to be the focal point. And it's going to be a reaction from England. I think England are going to want to avenge losing the final to Italy. So that is really going to make it a great game, very spicy. And it's going to be, I don't know how long Gareth Southgate is going to have, though, if I'm honest with you. I think the performances recently have been good. He wants to stay on, obviously, for avenging that game. But I don't know if he'll be able to kind of make it that long, if I'm honest.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I, you know, after looking at the way those groups played out, because I'd only seen the Ireland sort of draw, you think that, okay, you know, everyone's got it. This is by far the hardest group in terms of the teams that are placed within all of that, for sure. You know, for me, we've got the only thing I would say is for North America, we've got deadline day happening. That is happening here in a few minutes. So for final match day of the season with implications for Major League Soccer, give a look at that. Playoff implications on the line for those of you who do follow and pay attention. But that is it from us. As a reminder, Ian Joy will be back in the hot seat tomorrow for two live shows. The latest transfer news with Fabrizio Romano at 9 a.m. Eastern time, followed by the Champions League Match Day 4 preview at 10 a.m. Eastern time. And you can catch me and Jimmy Conrad over in the In Soccer We Trust podcast at 1 p.m. Eastern time for a thorough breakdown of the weekend's action from a U.S. men's national team perspective. Of course, thank you so much for listening to Kegel Lasso. Please take a minute to leave us a rating and a review on your favorite podcast platform. It means a lot. It helps it to get found. It hits the algorithms, all of those things. And we're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere you listen to your podcast. And of course, thank you so much to our producer, Des Norris, Nigel Rio Coker, Mike Lahizi LaHood. And until next time, we will see you guys later.
It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount+. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.